The Biruchim, the Mashkiach of the Mir, is reported to have said that he never gave a shmooze about any midah until he had first worked on himself and been kona that midah. If I operated by that standard, I wouldn't be employed in the field of chinuch. So I'm more ahead to talk about what's on my wish list, what's on my dream list as well. The focus is practical insights into tefillah. Aware of that, I'd like to begin with a philosophical insight from Rav Soloveitchik, and we'll see, Mitzvah Hashem B'Nedah, how that segues into the practical. There is, as you know, a machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam, Rav Sadia going before the Rambam, counted as a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa, and the Ramban says, no, it's only d'rabbanan. The Ramban thinks that there are many rayos in Shas, which indicate that it's only d'rabbanan. The Rambam has Mefurush Drosha from the Gemara in Tainus, from the Sefri of La'avdu v'chol avavchem, va'osel sa'avodu la'avdu v'chol avavchem, that ezo avodu shebelev havi'om is that tefillah. So what does the Ramban do with that, those makoros of the Rambam? So the Ramban suggests two answers. The first answer is that they're intended as asmachtas, they're not intended as Drosha's Gemuras. The second answer is that the Ramban makes a concession and says, no, maybe they're taka drashas gemuros, but they're only intended for eis tzara. But the chi of tefillah daraisa is not b'chol yom, as the Rambam says, but rather the chi of tefillah daraisa is dafka b'eis tzara. The Rav writes, I think in his essay, Rayonos al HaTefillah, that when the Ramban said that, so he thinks he gave away the store to the Rambam, because the Rambam says that every day is an Eis Tzara. What does that mean? That the essence of tefillah, and the Rav has this idea in that essay, Rayonos al HaTefillah, and Be'emes, the Maharal, already says this as well, that the essence of tefillah is that a person recognizes his vulnerability, his complete vulnerability and absolute dependence. That's what drives tefillah. That's what underlies tefillah, that hakara, that recognition, that awareness of a person's total vulnerability and absolute dependence. Memela, that's what the Rav was saying. So every day is an eis tzara. It's not just an eis tzara if Rachman Litzlan, there's a tzar hatzorer eschem, or there's a kiyah rov ba'aretz Rachman Litzlan, or dever ba'aretz, where we sort of see more tangibly the vulnerability and the weakness. No, but it's something which is true existentially. A person is always, always completely vulnerable, always, always absolutely dependent. When a person, and this is true for every one of us, this is true for everyone. When a person is feeling that awareness of vulnerability, dependence, and neediness, vulnerability, dependence, and neediness, everyone is capable of davening with kavana. I think we've all had one or multiple experiences in our life where we felt it. Maybe there was someone very close to us who was very ill, Rachmana Litzlan. Maybe it was some other personal crisis in one's life. Maybe it was Rachmana Litzlan after hearing about something that happened in Eretz Yisrael. We've all had moments when we've been in touch with that ultimate reality, again, of a person's vulnerability, dependence, and neediness, and that all the Chiyuv Hishtadlus notwithstanding, at the end of the day, a person can't ensure anything for himself. And when we're in touch with that ultimate reality of our existence, so then we are able to daven. If Rachmana Litzlan, there's a Ben Bais who's sick, so we're able to daven. When Rachmana Litzlan, we've heard about, it should never ever happen again, when we hear about things that happen in Eretz Yisrael, we're able to daven. The fact that we struggle on a daily basis to daven clearly then reflects the fact that we're not in touch with this reality. That when Rachmana Litzlan, a person is sick, so then we're in touch with the reality of neediness. And when we're healthy, bli ayin hara, so then we're not in touch with it, but the reality is there. And if we were to be in touch with that reality, if we were to be mindful of and internalize the Rav's teaching that it's always an eis tzara, because a person is always totally needy and totally vulnerable and totally dependent, so then we could daven. It would be manifest in our tefillah. So perspective number one is to remind ourselves before davening of this ultimate reality of human existence. Comment number two. Zeh klal ninkod v'yadenu. We can't be smarter than Chazal. When Chazal say there's a certain path to take, so there are no shortcuts. If Chazal say there's a path that takes 10 minutes, you can't get there in 5 minutes. You can't be smarter than Chazal. Chazal say that tefillah requires hachana. We daven without kavana, and then we wonder, and then we want to read books, and we want to have long discussions about why we're not able to daven properly. We can't be smarter than Chazal. Ashrei yoshev v'esecha odya luchasela. Tefillah, Chazal say, requires hachana. There's a mindset that a person has to enter. A person has to transition into that mindset. It doesn't happen just by as quickly as flipping a switch. So it's not a mystery that since we don't engage in the hachonas, that the results reflect that fact. There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch in the first volume of Mishnah Berurah about what, in addition to what we just mentioned before, about what a person should reflect upon before davening, about Romulus Hashem and Shiflus HaAdam, again, in keeping with what we just spoke about. Kimdumet Ramchal mentions in Mesilas Yesharim that even just the very basic awareness and focus on what we're about to do when davening. But let's say you have a lawyer who's about to make his summation before the jury. So he's aware of what he's doing, and he's aware of what the stakes are. So he doesn't just sort of come in and shoot from the hip and extemporaneously make a presentation. No, he prepares. Because that's what the occasion warrants. Ramchal says, Yeres Hashem dictates that when a person is omid the Hashem betfila, so he has to do that with a certain minimal level of focus and engagement. Comment number three. Everything else that we've said notwithstanding, there's going to be a direct correlation between how much kavana a person can have and just how fluent we are with the words of the tefillah. How much we understand the words of the tefillah. A person can think about neediness and dependence and vulnerability and godless avari and shiftless adam v'chulu v'chulu. And then if you give him a Japanese text of the Shemoneh Esrei and you tell him to not say, there's only so much kavana that he's going to be able to infuse into the words. There are obviously understanding the words of Shimon Esrei is El Dvam Shem Hem Shiur, as the Nefesh HaChayim explains all the levels and layers of kavanas that the Anshei Knesset Agdola had. But each one of us, Basher Usham, Chotch, the simple Parash Amilas, there's going to be a direct correlation between the degree of kavana, the intensity of kavana. It's going to be very hard to maintain any level of kavana without, again, that fluency in the words of the tefillah. That applies not only to Shemoneh Esrei, it applies to everything. The Psukei Dezimra, Kisvei HaKodesh, right? As we all know from having learned any pasuk in Chumash, any pasuk in Nach, so Kisvei HaKodesh are written very tersely, and even if a person can translate each of the words, it requires some thinking and some prior learning to figure out what's in between the words, what's in between the lines in every kapitel, in everything David HaMelech said. So if I just open up the siddur, even if I'm using a siddur with transliteration or one of the other siddurim, the more fluent one is in tefillah, the more potentially meaningful it can be. The final comment that I just wanted to make: when I was a little boy, prehistoric ages, so my mother's old Zangazund used to take us to the library. And back in those days, there was a very, very strange policy in libraries. The assumption was that a library was a place that people came to read, and because of that, it was supposed to be a quiet place. So you were either not allowed to talk at all, or if you needed to say something, you were supposed to whisper. And even if you went over to the librarian, you had to talk very, very softly. So as a little boy, the first few times that my mother took me to the library, so as we would walk up the steps to the library, so she would remind me, you know, either no talking, or if you have to say something, you have to make sure to whisper. And she reminded me the first few times that we went. Then what used to happen is, once I got used to it, so as we approached the library, so I just naturally shifted gears into that mode of knowing that either don't talk, if it's not really necessary, don't talk at all, and if it is necessary, whisper. There's also a correlation between what we do in the Mokum Tefillah, certainly during Tefillah, but even before and after Tefillah, that also has an impact on our ability to daven. Leaving aside whatever the halachas of kedushas beis knesses are on mechayev, even leaving that aside, but just simply in terms of kavana, if one's association with the mokum tefillah is, this is a place where I daven. It's not a place where I shmooze. It's not a place where I socialize. It's not a place where I catch up with my friends. Again, even during the 5 or 10 minutes that I'm waiting for the minyan to begin, or maybe the 5 or 10 minutes that I hang around afterwards, if it's a place where I daven, so then naturally, when you walk into the place, so then a person shifts. That helps the person transition to tefillah, because his association with being kosla abeis knesses is that I'm omid lifnei Hashem. I'm thinking about the Ribono Shel Olam, and I'm trying to leave aside all other distracting and competing thoughts. So just to summarize the four suggested perspectives. Number one, that before davening, a person, really we should be aware of this 24/7, but certainly before davening, a person should be in touch with the ultimate reality of a person's dependence, vulnerability, and neediness. Because when a person feels needy, he's able to daven. When a person feels vulnerable, everyone is able to daven. Because the adrenaline flows, everyone's able to daven with kavana. That naturally, again, already touches upon, it overlaps with the second. Chazal say that the tefillah requires kavana, tochen libon, takshev aznacha. They have to get their minds, their hearts ready. Number three, that we should try to be as fluent as possible with all chalkei hatfila. And number four, the more the makom hatfila is sacrosanct and reserved for tefillah, so the more that helps support and sustain our kavanah. Thank you very much.
So that's the first idea of feeling a bit more.